Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC and WNYC.org. So, imagine this scenario. You're on the chopping block at work. Your company is cutting costs, laying off workers, and shipping jobs overseas. One day, your boss comes to you with some news. Yes, they are shipping your job overseas, but they're also willing to ship you along with it. This is the plan floated by executives at IBM recently, where workers were given the option of relocating to India and other developing countries. And this would be a full-blown relocation. They would be paid in the local currency, earn a local-level salary, and basically live as a local would. So, from IBM employee to slumdog pauper. Joining us to discuss this plan is Paul McDougall, senior editor at Information Week. He wrote about this plan recently. Paul, welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Andrea. Glad I could be here.
By the way, we'll take your calls on this. Have you worked for an American company overseas? Were you paid local wages? Would you take this offer? You can give us a call at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Maybe you're listening now from India. So give us a call or comment online, WNYC.org. Click on the Brian Lehrer Show. So, Paul, tell us about the details of this plan. How would it work, and how much would an IBM employee be paid?
Okay, sure. Well, it's called Project Match, and that's an IBM initiative under which the company is offering to relocate workers who've been laid off in the U.S. or Canada to India and other developing markets where IBM has experienced growth. Needless to say, the project has been met with some cynicism by affected employees who aren't really anxious to give up greenbacks for rupees, because that is the catch. You must be willing to work on quote-unquote local conditions. And in the case of a country like India, depending on the job, in most cases that would be well less than half of what the U.S. salary is.
Even so, though, I mean, if you are these jobs obviously in India are coveted jobs. People want them. They see them as middle class jobs. I mean, local cost of living is cheaper.
It sure is, but I think that our definition of middle class over here and the definition of middle class in India differs quite a bit. And the key thing to remember is that in a lot of cases, these are career IBM employees who have pension plans, they have mortgages, they've been making Social Security payments, and all that would go away under this program because they would, in fact, become an employee of the IBM subsidiary in whichever country they were moved to.
Now, would IBM help them relocate, and would there be any guarantees? Would these jobs last for a specific period of time?
As I understand it, there's no guarantees. IBM is willing to provide travel assistance and visa assistance.
A one-way ticket to Mumbai?
A one-way ticket to Mumbai. Or it's important to remember, it's not just India. There's quite a few countries that qualify for this program. Argentina, Brazil, Mexico, the Czech Republic. It's a fairly extensive list, but the commonality is it's mostly developing markets where IBM expects the next big boom to happen.
Any sense of how IBM employees are receiving this idea?
Well, it may be that IBM's intentions are good, but the move comes off as a bit tone-deaf given the state of the economy and the controversies around outsourcing. The claim from critics of the program is that IBM is looking to sweep these people under the rug. In IBM's defense, IBM needs to have a global workforce. It needs people in the markets that are experiencing the most growth, and right now that's not North America. It's parts of Asia and the Mideast for the most part, and that's why IBM is laying off workers in the U.S. in states such as New York, Vermont, and Minnesota.
Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. We're speaking to Paul McDougall, a writer for Information Week and senior editor there, talking about IBM's proposal to move people to India and pay them at Indian or other developing company wages. We're joined now also by a Brian Lehrer Show listener. Sumaka Ravishankar is from India but has lived in Short Hills, New Jersey for the last 10 years. She posted on our comments board at WNYC.org this morning about how easy the transition to India would be for an American worker, so we called her up to get her take. Sumaka, welcome to WNYC.
I'm glad to be here.
So what, in your opinion, would it be like for, say, an IBM employee living in Westchester to move to India and work there at Indian wages?
I think it would be a little challenging. If it is an Indian, an American of Indian origin, they would know exactly what they are up against. And if it is an American who has never lived in India or any other developing world, it's going to be challenging. And if they take it up as a challenge and as an adventure, they would probably benefit from it. But if they have small children or school-going kids, it's going to be very stressful.
Why? What? Tell us a little bit, sort of, what are you thinking of specifically? What would be the stresses?
Schools in India are more academically oriented than compared to U.S. You won't have too many opportunities in sports and other extracurricular activities. And especially if you have a special needs child, that's not something that you... Those are not the services normally the schools in India cater to. And there are schools that are called international schools. They are specifically for people who are coming back to India from U.S. or other Western countries, but the fee structure is exorbitant. And if you're being paid in Indian rupees, I wouldn't be able to afford it.
Now, what about just sort of other things that you might be used to if you come from a middle-class American life? Oh, I don't know, cable TV, foreign vacations, things like that?
I think those are not a big concern, because as a middle-class Indian, I mean, people do save a lot and people do travel a lot. And I see, Indians traveling outside of India and having their foreign vacations. So it's not something that would be so difficult. But it has to be a budget travel, you see. You will not be able to afford a five-star hotel kind of a vacation.
Paul McDougall of Information Week, have you heard anything, concerns expressed about living under these conditions? I mean, is anybody sort of seriously weighing it that you've heard?
Well, my conversations with IBM, they're not saying a lot about the program, but the official that I talked to said that so far he's not aware of anybody actually taking advantage of this offer. And my sense is that with all of these concerns, if it's going to appeal to anybody, it's going to appeal to the younger workers. Maybe it's their first job out of school, and maybe they do want to travel. And so it wouldn't be seen as so much as a career move, but as a move to perhaps enhance their life experience.
All right, let's take a call. Tammy from Westchester. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Yes, hi, Andrew. I just want to say I'm enjoying your show, and I completely agree with what Samantha said. But I just was a little offended when you referred, in your opening title, when you referred to being relocated to India as becoming a slumdog pauper, because as Samantha pointed out, there is a very huge middle class, and I think these IBM executives will be paid very well compared to Indian standards.
Okay, fair enough.
You get to remember the 45-to-1 exchange rate. But thank you for your program, and continue.
Wait,
good
hang
work.
On. Don't go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't go. Fair enough. Point taken, and thank you for your call. Now, have you lived in India?
Yeah, I lived there for 6 years. I was a student there, and everything is available there. If you make the equivalent of $60,000 to $70,000 U.S. dollars a year, you can live like a king there. So in that way, I don't think Samantha is correct. They have a wonderful school system. People do travel abroad quite a bit. Cable TV is available. And if you live in a city where there's an international airport, everything that you want is there. I mean, there's a TGI Fridays. There's the Gap is there. I mean, Starbucks is there. Everything is there.
So, Paul McDougall, is that the salary that they're talking about, 60 to 70,000 U.S.?
No, that might be the salary what they're making over here. They would be paid according to local standards in India, and it would be far less than that.
So what are we talking about, sort of the U.S. equivalency?
In some cases for a programmer, maybe $15,000 a year.
Could you do that, Tammy, $15,000 a year?
I mean, you know, then it would be, I think it would be still okay, but I really don't think that that's fair. I mean, I think company should at least bring it up to $40,000 because they can afford it. And I think that that's the problem with, I mean, these companies are exploiting the workers in India, basically. They could pay them more. And I think that if you're going to relocate from here, you must pay the workers more. Otherwise, people won't be interested in it, as Paul said.
All right. Thank you, Tammy,
can
for
I
your call.
Can I pitch in a little bit?
Yes, please. Sumaka.
Yes. I have a lot of family and friends in IBM. And I have been told that they are not, the program doesn't work like, you don't, they don't tell them that you have, there is a job opening in India and you can go there. What they are doing is they are laying them off here so that they have a better negotiating power with these workers. And they're saying that there are jobs available in India. If you want to take that, you can always apply for it. And you are right. They are not being paid $60,000. Those are the top-level managerial jobs that are gone now. They are paying around $15,000 to
$20,000. Is that accurate, Paul McDougall of Information Week?
That sounds about right, and I would reinforce the point that, yes, this is only being offered to IBM employees in the U.S. who have already been laid off.
That's true. So it's not an option that they are giving. They have already laid them off, and they've been told that there are jobs available in India, and you can take those jobs if you wish to. And I have known a lot. I've known a lot of people who have been laid off and haven't taken it up because they are given 3 months' notice, and they are not planning to take this offer because it is very stressful to take back the family back to India and live in that kind of salary. Although it's not bad, the salary is not bad. You can live a pretty good life, but it's going to be very stressful.
Paul McDougall, is that who it's pitched at? Is people who are Indian, who are expats living here, who might be thinking about going back, or is it pitched to U.S. citizens?
Well, it certainly would be open to expats to do kind of a reverse expat, but it's also being offered to really any IBM worker who's been working in the U.S. or Canada and has lost their jobs. And IBM has laid off about, according to one employee group, about 4,000 people in the U.S. since the beginning of January.
So it's being offered to anybody, but is there any sort of ulterior motive? I mean, are there any belief about who they think would accept this?
You know, I couldn't say offhand. IBM isn't talking a lot about this program for obvious reasons.
Let's take another caller. Ken from Vernon, New Jersey. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Yeah, I want to point out the obvious, and to me that is people from around the world are coming to America for the hope of a better living and, you know, a better living for their children in the future. Why would Americans want to go to a country like India? Now, I know there's a very sophisticated side of India because I have friends who are from India who are Indian. I've had exposure to yoga practice, and I've met many Indians in a ashram in the United States. But why would an American who can earn more here want to go to India, a place where he probably doesn't speak the language, and a language which I don't think is easy to pick up,
wow,
and make less money? I think it's a crazy notion, and people like companies like IBM are only doing this as, yeah, we'll give you a job over there, but you know, they know the person's not going to take it.
Yeah, I mean, Ken, so far as I know, most people in India, certainly in, you know, professional world where an IBM employee would be working, speak English. And, you know, it's interesting because the caller, Tammy, that called from Westchester, who took Slumdog Millionaire Pauper as an insult, don't want to diminish that point. But I do have to say that one of the reactions that I had to Slumdog Millionaire was that, wow, India is a really interesting place. Maybe I should put it on my list of places to go. And there was recently also an article in the New York Times about Indians who are moving back to India and suddenly finding it sort of place where things are happening. I'm wondering, is there an element of that, Paul McDougall, in all of this? I mean, I'm wondering, is IBM counting on the idea that India is beginning to have, we were talking about cachet before, sort of a cachet, an allure, sort of a place where things are happening, ideas are being developed, opportunities are available?
Sure. I think it has that appeal for indigenous Indian workers who've been over here on H-1B visas or L-1 visas. You are seeing a lot of them starting to return, realizing that there is opportunity there for them. But I think it would be a very big jump in terms of culture and living standards for North American citizens.
Samaka Ravishankar, any final thoughts?
You know, he seems to be right on dot. There are a lot of Indians who are going back, and especially younger Indians who are going back because their kids are very young and they haven't really, they don't have much to lose. But Americans going back, they have to be young and or without kids and take it up as a career advancement and learn a new culture and take it as a kind of an adventure. But other than that, it's going to be tough.
All right. Thank you very much to everyone who called in. Thanks to Samaka Ravishankar, who posted on our WNYC comments page. You should do that, too. WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Paul McDougall of Information Week, thank you very much for talking about this with us.
Thank you, Andrea.
And coming up, okay, time has come. Phones are open. It's Valentine's Day meets Friday the 13th. Love is in the air, but so is bad luck. You can start calling now with your stories of your worst date ever. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Start calling. Let's see if you can beat the story we've already heard about the date with one eye. Coming up after the break, Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer.